Opening Christmas presents for Europe.
Yes, folks, and that's the way it is. That's what Europe gets for Christmas. That's what everybody gets for Christmas. From Israel, we're just so lucky, aren't we? And this, of course, has resulted in what we just saw unfold in Bondi in Australia, which was incredibly predictable. I mean, I don't know what show it was, but I mentioned that this was going to happen like months ago. It was Bibi Netanyahu put out a warning, well, basically a veiled threat to the Australian government that if you don't start supporting Israel and stop supporting the recognition of a Palestinian state, then we're going to stage a terror attack in Australia and we're going to blame it on Muslims and you're going to look like shit. That's basically what Bibi Netanyahu said when he gave the warning to the Australian government.
On August 17th, about 4 months ago, I sent Prime Minister Albanese of Australia a letter in which I gave him warning that the Australian government's policy was promoting and encouraging anti-Semitism in Australia. I wrote, "Your call for a Palestinian state pours fuel on the anti-Semitic fire. It rewards Hamas terrorism. It emboldens those who menace Australian Jews and encourages the Jew hatred now stalking your streets. Anti-Semitism is a cancer. It spreads when leaders stay silent. It retreats when leaders act. I call upon you to replace weakness with action, appeasement with resolve. Instead, Prime Minister, you replaced weakness with weakness and appeasement with more appeasement. Your government did nothing to stop the spread of anti-Semitism in Australia. You did nothing to curb the cancer cells that were growing inside your country. You took no action. You let the disease spread. And the result is the horrific attacks on Jews we saw today."
Yeah, it's all planned, folks. They do this shit all the time. Like, Israel stages false flag attacks against itself all the time. It has an incredibly long history of it, even since before the founding of Israel. Now, Jews just do this to themselves all the time. Whenever they need sympathy, whenever the world starts waking up to what they're actually doing and getting away with, they stage attacks against themselves as a plea for sympathy and support for their actions. And yeah, we're seeing a lot of Arab terrorism. I wouldn't say Islamic terrorism, but we're seeing a lot of migrant issues in Western countries, which is all being created by Israel through the Kalugi plan. I mean, I showed you many times the video clip of the rabbi saying that Islam is the broom of Israel.
Je reviendrai que quand Edom, l'Europe, la chrétienté sera totalement tombée. Donc je vous pose la question, c'est une bonne nouvelle que l'islam envahisse l'Europe? C'est une excellente nouvelle, ça annonce l'avenue de ma chère. Excellente nouvelle.
Vous allez payer très cher les Européens. Mais à un point, vous n'avez même pas notion de quoi on parle. Et vous n'aurez pas au fil. Parce que tout le mal que vous avez fait à Israël, vous le paierez au centuple. Quand l'Italie disparaîtra, quand Edom, c'est pour ça que le QG de la chrétienté qui vient de Essav se trouve là-bas, quand cet endroit-là disparaîtra, et c'est ce que veut faire l'islam, il s'occupe. L'islam, c'est le balai d'Israël, sachez-le.
Yeah, Islam is being used to undermine the West and destroy the West. All part of the plan, folks, the Kalugi plan. And we knew this was coming, this attack in Australia, so predictable. It's really debatable what really happened as well. I mean, there's so much wrong with the official narrative, like there is in all of these events. There's always so much wrong. There's always so many questions. There's this guy standing there shooting, or two guys standing there shooting. They're even saying he might have been a third guy. He had a whole bunch of shotgun shells around his belt. He had like three guns. I think it was a father and a son, and they had three guns each. They had six guns, but there might have been another guy as well. I mean, everything's so unclear. And there's one scene of him where he's firing, and this guy is a professional shooter. This guy's done a lot of training. He's either been at the range a lot or he is military. There's one scene, one close-up, where he's actually, he lets off, what, four shots from a bolt-action gun. I don't know whether it was a rifle, whether it was a bolt-action gun, or whether it was actually a shotgun with a slide action. I don't know, because he's got a lot of shotgun shells around his belt, and there's a lot of shotgun, you know, spent cartridges on the ground when they arrested him. You can see a lot of red shotgun cartridges on the ground.
He's hit! He's hit! He's hit! He's hit! He's hit!
Fucking bash him! I mean, you can get, you know, quite thin-barreled shotguns that have quite a small cartridge. I mean, I don't know how good that would be over a distance, though, like what he was doing. But there's scenes there where, like, he was firing, and he kept, like, lifting his arms and waving people off. And there's one scene where there's two guys that come out, and they're looking at him, and they're right there in front of him. And one of them points at him, and he doesn't shoot at them. And they're not even scared. I mean, wouldn't they be hiding behind a tree or something?
Oh, my God, get down, get down. Boys, get down. Oh, my God.
What are they doing just standing there while he's shooting around the place? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And there's video footage taken from an apartment nearby that's like nearly 11 minutes long. It's like 10 minutes and 49 seconds or something long. How are these guys able to stand there and shoot so long when they're like 80 metres from the police station? The police station's just around the corner. It's like 80 metres or 100 metres away. Well, you're telling me the cops didn't hear the shots? And in the 10-minute video, or 10-minute, 49-second video, where the guys are shooting, you actually see the police cars. You see two police cars drive past. Or at least twice the cops drive past while he's shooting. And yet, suddenly, a random passerby, turns out to be a fruit shop owner, comes and tackles one of them to the ground, steals his gun, gets shot twice in the process, apparently, so we're told. Why did it take the cops so long to get there? Why didn't the shooter see the guy coming? He didn't come from behind, he came from the side. I mean, you'd see this guy coming at you. How did that happen? Why were they on the beach, or like on the bridge there, shooting at the beach, which is like through the trees and miles away? They're right there by the public road, shooting from the public road in center of Bondi there. Like, you know, they're half a block away from the beach. What are they doing there? Why are they using shotgun shells when it's such a distance away? I mean, admittedly, they might not all have been shotgun shells, but, you know, there's so many questions. What did the guy, when he stole the gun, the shooter just kind of backed away? He didn't really seem scared that he was going to get shot or anything like that. He just kind of backed away. None of it makes sense. There's also talk that the shooter's real name was Cohen and that he was a Jew. There's talk, there's a leaked Facebook profile that they got to before it was deleted or whatever. You don't know how real any of this stuff is. There's also talk that the shooter's name was searched, Google searched in Israel the day before this event, or 2 days before this event happened. You've got to wonder if that's true. But there's also reports that have come out to say the shooter's name was searched in Iran on Google 2 days before the event. So you just don't know. But it seems pretty obvious. I mean, in all of these events, you've got to ask the question, who benefits? Why was this event staged? You know, Australia has been pushing back against Israeli supremacy. Australia has been calling out the genocide in Gaza. You know, and Bibi Netanyahu coming and basically threatening Australia with a terror attack if they didn't fall in line shows who's responsible for this. Because, like I said, who benefits? Cui bono? Israel. Of course. Israel gets more anti-Semitic legislation passed, you know, anti-Semitic legislation passed. It gets more of what it wants. It gets to demonize Muslims more, demonize Palestinians more, demonize all the people that it wants to demonize. And, you know, it can't fight its war against Islam without the Christians. And it can't do that without getting the Christians to hate the Muslims. And it won't do that without bombing Muslim countries for decades and having them all flood into Europe and have situations in the Middle East where people are uneducated, they're disconnected from reality, they're disconnected from society. They've grown up in war zones and chaos and been the victim of gangs and cartels and rapes and just murders and wars for their entire lives, most of these people, because that's what the West has done to them, mainly what Israel has done to them. The United States and Britain, being controlled by these people, has done to most of these Muslim countries. Well, you spent 50, 60 years, sometimes 100 years, just destroying all the culture in these countries, and now we flood them into the West and we blame them for being Muslim. It's all been contrived. The whole thing has been contrived. These people would be a lot happier in their own countries if we didn't keep bombing their countries. When I say we, it's, you know, rhetorical. Because I'm not doing it, and I'm sure you're not doing it. But all this is so staged, folks. It's so staged, and it's so predictable. We could see it coming. When Bibi made that statement warning the Australian Prime Minister, like, some months ago, I said on my show, expect a terror attack where Jews are killed in Australia, because this is what Israel will do in order to get its way. And we know it has absolutely no qualms about killing its own people. Look what happened on October the 7th. You know, there's so much evidence out there showing that the majority of people killed on October 7th were killed by IDF deliberately. They were deliberately and consistently strafing the crowd, blowing up cars, shooting cars with rockets and missiles, doing everything they could to cause maximum casualties so they could use it as an excuse to genocide Palestine. And they freaking lie about everything. I mean, just the fact that Rabbi Shmuley, Rabbi Dildo, was over there 6 months ago in Bondi.
I am now Rabbi Commando. Okay?
That guy, what's his name? Arson Ostrovsky or something. Ostrovsky. Arson. His name's Arson, which means to fake, you know, you start a fire. Like, his name's Arson, for God's sake. Spelled differently, but, you know. Arson Obtrosky, or some fucking ridiculous name, happened to go over to Sydney 2 weeks before this attack. Went over there to help stamp out anti-Semitism, and then posts a picture of himself fleeing the shooter on the beach. He got blood all over his head. It's so fake. Like, it's fake stage blood. This is way too red. It's way too bright. Blood doesn't fall down on your arm and stay that color. You know, it goes dark. It goes black. It goes crimson. It doesn't stay bright red like that. That's stage blood. That's theater blood. I used to use it all the time when I used to work in movies at Movie World. So nothing is what they tell us. But the chances of this guy going over there, and then, like, he's running away, allegedly running away from the shooter, falls in the grass, puts out a thing on X saying, please help me, and takes a selfie. As you do when you're fleeing a shooter that's killing dozens of people around you. Apparently 16 people got killed all up, 24 injured or something like that. I don't know, it was pretty bad, but why were they shooting so long? But this guy, the fact that this guy posted that selfie shows you just how fake and staged this all was, and that he was there deliberately for this event. And the photo of him with the bandaged head, where the bandage has been put on over his blood. Oh my God, how fake. There is no way anyone is ever going to dress a wound like this, which again shows you that this man is a liar and that he was never struck at all. The whole thing was fake. And he's claiming now, I survived the October 7th attack and now I'm here. I survived the Nova Festival and now I'm being attacked again here in Sydney. Actually, a friend of mine has saved one of his X posts where he shows, on October the 7th, he shows that he is hiding in a bunker in Tel Aviv, 100 miles away from where the alleged terror attack was happening at the Nova Festival. And that's where he was on October 7th. He didn't survive the October 7th attack at all. He just put that out there for effect. They lie about everything, folks, about everything. But it's so staged. It's so staged in so many ways. I mean, how are they filming for 11 minutes and two police cars drive past? They didn't do anything. How did any of this come about, folks? And like I said, there are reports that the guy's name's actually Cohen and he's an Israeli. I don't know, but he was very well trained. Now, you don't let off four shots from a bolt action in 5.2 seconds if you're not well trained. Now, and he didn't flinch at all. He wasn't flinching. He was doing that very, very professionally, like the way a soldier or a professional shooter would do. So, yeah. Interesting stuff, folks. Interesting stuff. I mean, the world has changed so much in the last 5 years. Who would have thought that we would be dealing with any of this sort of shit that we are now? I mean, I knew we were heading for some strange times, but it's just insane what's going on in the world now. It really is, folks. And a lot of attention's gone away from Gaza, of course, through all this. And Gaza is still going on. Like, they haven't stopped the genocide. They're shooting people all the time. Like, just randomly shooting from the yellow line. Just for the sake of it, you know. Let off a few more rounds. There was a four-year-old shot in the neck or something yesterday. More people killed in airstrikes. They're just, 3 days ago they stoned a donkey to death in West Bank. Israeli teenagers went in there, like just 2 weeks ago they were picking up lambs and just picking up and putting them over their shoulders and just throwing them on the concrete ground and then gouging their eyes out. Now filming it all, these Israeli kids kill the Palestinian livestock, but just torture them, kill them, like not just kill them, fucking hurt these animals, you know. And 3 days ago, they stoned a donkey to death in West Bank. These kids, Israeli kids. What the fuck is wrong with these people, you know? This is really such a sick society, folks. Unbelievable. America's greatest allies. Yeah, bullshit.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kobe. I was born and raised Jewish in Israel. Today, I want to talk about something that's been on my mind. Why do we only hear about anti-Semitism, but never about anti-Goyism? As taught in the Talmud. So what is anti-Goyism? It's a term that refers to prejudice or hostility by Jews towards non-Jews, often rooted in religious or cultural teachings. In the context of the Talmud, it includes passages that some interpret as promoting the idea that Goyim, non-Jews, are inferior or even enemies. The Talmud, which is our central text, contains passages that some interpret as promoting anti-Goyism. For instance, in the Babylonian Talmud, Tractate Avodah Zarah, 26b, it said, even the best of the Gentiles should be killed. Another example in Avodah Zarah, 36b, it says, the daughters of idolaters, non-Jews, are in state of Nidah, which means filth, from birth. The Sanhedrin 82a, whoever cohabits with a Gentile woman, zealots may strike him. And in the Tosafot commentary on Avodah Zarah 26b, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "The best of the Gentiles, kill him." Let's also talk about Jesus in the Talmud. He is referred to as Yeshu and is portrayed as a sorcerer and a deceiver. In Sanhedrin 107b, it is discussed that Jesus was stoned and hanged on the eve of Passover, portraying him as a false prophet and a sorcerer. Now, I've searched and I couldn't find any derogatory references to Jews in the Christians or Muslim texts. It seems that while we have these teachings in the Talmud, other religions don't have similar derogatory views about Jews. And I just want to be clear. Anti-Semitism is real, but so is anti-Goyism. Both are forms of bigotry that need to be addressed. It's time to have an honest conversation about all forms of prejudice, not just ones that suit our Jewish narrative. So could it be that anti-Semitism is, in a way, Jewish karma for being a racist religion? I don't know. I think so. That's a heavy question, but one worth considering. If we acknowledge the derogatory views in our own texts, maybe we can start to understand the cycle of prejudice and work towards breaking it. So next time you hear about anti-Semitism, remember to ask, what about anti-Goyism? Let's talk about both, because true justice means recognizing all forms of discrimination, no matter where they come from.
You know, they're just doing what they can to destroy the world and painting themselves as the victims while they do it. You know, and even this celebration of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is actually the celebration of the brutal massacre of non-Jews. Jews will say it's a celebration of when they defended themselves. It was massacre. They massacred tens of thousands. I think they might have been Greeks. I'm not sure who they were. They massacred so many different groups of peoples, it's hard to keep track. But Hanukkah is a celebration of a massacre of non-Jews. All major Jewish holidays are celebrations of major massacres of non-Jews. The sort of stuff they celebrate, folks. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. Our greatest allies. As you can see, folks, I'm back in Acapulco. Got back from United States. I was in the United States for a while. I came back here for a few days and gathered some equipment and went back to see my friend in Sedona, who's a little sick at the moment. And we're trying to get her better. But now I'm back in Mexico and I'll be back in Acapulco for, I don't know, probably till Christmas or New Year or something like that. And then I'll probably go somewhere else. I don't really have anywhere I need to be until I go to Puerto Vallarta in February for an Acapulco, which is going to be great. Already a lot of tickets been sold for that, folks, so if you want to get there, I'd say you should get in quickly. Again, you can use my name, Egan, and get yourself a 10% discount on your ticket as well. It's going to be good. It's a good-looking venue, so I'll be interested to see how it all pans out. But there's nowhere I have to be until then. And I don't really live anywhere at the moment. I've got a lot of stuff in storage here at Jeff's. There might be some other stuff that's been taken up to his ranch, I'm not sure. I've got so much stuff still in storage in Australia. I've got to figure out what I'm going to do with all of that. I've got so much stuff all over the place and I'm kind of homeless at the moment. So I landed at Jeff's for a few days. It's great that he lets me do that, you know. Like, even when he's away, I think he's in Egypt or somewhere still. Or somewhere, I don't know. He's not here anyway. But he lets me do that, just arrive at his house, and his staff always look after me. He's got great staff, so. But it's been very quiet up here. It's kind of isolated up here. But I've only been back a couple of days, and I'm kind of sleeping and getting my shit together. And I'll figure out where I'm going to be from there. But it's beautiful to be back in Acapulco. Of course, it's freaking hot, as it always is. And yeah, back just in time for this whole false flag shooting that's just happened in Australia. I mean, whoever this guy was, he was a professional shooter. The interesting thing is it was an Arab guy who disarmed him. They weren't happy about that. So he wasn't a Muslim, he was a Christian. You know, who gives a shit? He was an Arab. Benjamin Netanyahu came out in the beginning and said he was disarmed by a brave Jewish man, which of course we know he wasn't. I mean, there's every indication this guy could have been Jewish himself. I mean, maybe MK Ultra, Manchurian Candidate, who knows? But who knows what will happen to him? Who knows? Was he even shooting real bullets? Was he just shooting blanks? Why were those guys standing in front of him, standing there pointing, and he didn't shoot them? And he was shooting in their direction. They just stood there. They didn't do anything. Very, very strange, folks. Very, very strange. In other things, though, the whole AI grid that I've been warning you about for so long is really going forward in leaps and bounds. See, this is happening underneath all of this other stuff. Underneath the shooting, underneath the Gaza massacre, underneath the Charlie Kirk shooting, which is still being talked about. Candace Owens is really not letting up with any of that. Interestingly, she's been calling out Tipper USA, which is so corrupt. And there's so much wrong with the Charlie Kirk shooting, obviously. But she's been really calling things out, and really, I've been surprised, actually. Like, I've actually watched three or four of her podcasts now, because I've been with my friend in Sedona, who is a total fan of Candace Owens, and she sits there and makes me watch the Candace Owens report every day while I'm there, so I don't have a choice. But it's been good in a way, because I've actually got to watch a whole broadcast of her and see how she's really thinking. And I can see that a lot of the accusations that are being made against her are completely false. She hasn't made any of the claims they're claiming that she did. She hasn't done any of the things they're claiming that she's done. And it's been really refreshing seeing someone speak out so adamantly about Israel, and to speak out so adamantly against the government, and to tell you you should question. Tipper USA is just saying, no, just believe the government, believe what they say, you know, God is in charge, don't worry about it. And Candace Owens is saying, no, we need to question this shit because the official narrative is bullshit. And she's correct. And the stuff that she's exposed about Egyptian planes that have been following Candace Owens around for years, I mean, there's a very good chance there was something else going on that Tipper USA was up to that Charlie Kirk had no idea about. Could have been trafficking arms, could have been trafficking children. I mean, you've got to understand, Erica Kirk was involved in an orphanage in Romania that was, she was basically kicked out of the country because it was believed the orphanage was involved in child trafficking. You got these big events like Charlie Kirk touring around the place, it's like Aerosmith touring around the place. You've got all these big trucks and all this equipment and all this stuff. And people expect there to be big trucks and planes landing and stuff, you know, truckloads of equipment and all this sort of stuff. But who knows what's actually in some of these trucks? Could they be trafficking arms? Could they be trafficking children? Could they be trafficking other things under the guise of holding Tipper USA events? The whole thing about the Egyptian planes, what were they doing there? They've been following Erica Kirk around for 3 or 4 years. Not to say she ever flew on any, but everywhere Erica Kirk went, there was an Egyptian plane landed around the same time and left around the time that she left. Why? What's this all about? Why were there Egyptian planes following her to all these different places? Not saying she ever got on the planes or even spoke to any of the planes, but what were they doing there? What were they doing there? Why were there so many French Foreign Legion people there at Charlie's event as well? All wearing crimson shirts, I think. There's a lot of really unanswered questions, but a lot of what Candace Owens has been saying, I mean, she's been realizing that the world is run by one global cabal. There are no real governments. There are no real countries or nations or anything like that. All these countries are working together for a common agenda. And they're playing all the people off against each other, and she's encouraging people to ask questions, and I kind of like it. I mean, after the 3 or 4 shows that I've watched of her, I haven't actually found anything she said in those 3 or 4 broadcasts that I can disagree with. She's saying stuff that I've been saying for years. And it's kind of refreshing to see. There's nobody else with an audience her size that is saying these things, and she's getting a lot of the younger generation to start really questioning what Israel is doing. You've got people like Tim Pool in total meltdowns over it because she's undermining the midterms, like there is an actual left and right, and the midterms actually fucking mean something when they don't. I mean, it's been fun actually watching people like Tim Pool and even Nick Fuentes having meltdowns over what she's saying. Stuff I didn't really expect from Nick Fuentes. Everyone's kind of exposing themselves, you know. But who knows? I mean, do I trust Candace Owens? No, I don't trust anybody. But I just think it's refreshing to see. I believe that she's actually having a meeting with Erica Kirk today to discuss things in private, which seems a little strange after all the publicity that's been around this thing. So it's going to be interesting to see whether she comes out completely backflipping and apologising and saying that we need to stop talking about it and Israel's wonderful, or whether she comes back alive or dead or whatever. It's just going to be interesting to see if there's any change in heart from her. If she does a backflip, I'd say she'll lose three quarters of her fan base. Whether that's a thing for her, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what the outcome is. But all this sort of stuff, I mean, even the fact that there's been so much focus on Charlie Kirk, and even I fall into it because it's interesting. I mean, let's face it, it's interesting. There's been all this sort of focus on this and focus on Gaza and focus on now this shooting in Australia. And I think there was another shooting in the United States as well, Rhode Island. It's just endless, folks, endless. Mind you, if Australia didn't have such strict gun laws, there probably would have been a whole bunch of people in the area of Australia that were armed who would have taken the shooters out in 10 seconds. We wouldn't have to have waited for like 15 or 20 minutes for the police to arrive when they were 1 minute walk down the road. Just a little point of contention there. You know, I mean, if Australia was allowed to have weapons to defend themselves, this wouldn't have happened. None of these events had happened. You don't have crime where people are armed, basically. I mean, look at America. The cities where gun registration is severely restricted, places like Detroit have the highest crime rate in the United States. Places where, you know, guns are commonplace, such as Texas, you don't have a lot of crime because, you know, if you break into someone's house, they're going to fucking shoot you. So why are you going to do it, you know? So, yeah. But anyway, underneath all of this is this AI grid. Now, they brought in the social media ban for children under 16, came in Australia, I think, on December 6th. I think that was already done by the time I did the last radio show. I'm not sure. I think I mentioned it. It's been hard to keep track of everything while I'm moving around and doing all the stuff and taking stuff back and forth to Sedona to help my friend and all sorts of stuff. Hard to keep track of everything. And especially like not living anywhere, being homeless and having to kind of lob here and rah, rah, rah. So just forgive me for that, for my tardiness. But I'll be somewhere soon. I'll get somewhere to hang for the next month or so. Back in Bonfield, I don't know. I'll go somewhere. And then I'll work it out next year. But sorry, folks, itchy nose, moustache. But this whole AI thing, it's rolling out at breakneck speed. Like I said, they brought in the social media ban in Australia, which is insidious. I mean, a lot of these kids, all they know is online. And I mean, in some ways it's good and in other ways it's bad. I mean, personally, I don't think kids should have technology at school. Sure, if they want to go on and play games and operate on chat apps and stuff at home at night, after they've finished their chores or whatever, great. Have a couple of hours on the computer, do what you want. But I don't think they should be taking cell phones to class. I don't think they should be using computers to solve problems. Because what's happening is it's taking away their life skills. And I've said this for years. I've been telling you that one of the most dangerous things we've seen, I said this in my first film, The Big Picture, one of the most dangerous things we've seen over the last 50 to 100 years is a severe loss of life skills. People don't know how to do anything anymore. They don't know how to build a house. They don't know how to plant a seed. Some people have actually got to watch a video on how to plant a fucking seed. It's unbelievable, you know? Watching instruction manuals on how to operate a tape measure, for God's sake. But it's gotten even worse now. Like, kids going through high school can't read. They can't write. So they've forgotten how. And they don't see the need to learn how to do it, because a computer will do it for them. They don't need to learn to spell. Autocorrect will do it for them. They don't need to write an essay. They can get ChatGPT to do it. They don't need to think anymore. They don't need to do artwork. They can just put a prompt into AI and it'll create a picture for them. They don't need to get bands and write songs and create music anymore. AI can do it, sometimes a lot better than the original. Even putting little human mistakes in there now, a friend of mine was saying. It'll have one note slightly out of tune, or you know, you'll hear, you know, a trumpet player and you'll hear his breathing. Stuff like this, little human qualities they're putting in there, so you can't tell the difference between what is real and what is AI. And it's got to the point, like, there's one teacher in the United States actually quit because she said it's useless trying to teach children because they don't want to learn anymore because they become too dependent upon AI.
A lot of these kids don't know how to read because they have had things read to them, or they can click a button and have something read out loud to them. I just don't think these kids even care. They don't care about making a difference in the world. They don't care about how to have a resume. They don't care how to write a resume. They don't care how to write a cover letter because ChatGPT will just do it for them. And I think that we need to cut off technology from these kids probably until they go to college. I wasn't always a teacher. I actually started my career in digital marketing. So I've been in the digital world for about 5 years now, or since I've graduated. And throughout the 3 years, I've taught digital arts classes and I've taught an English class. And I would say that in all of my teaching experience, technology has posed quite a challenge. And with AI becoming so accessible to children nowadays, especially teaching in an English or Core 4 classroom, it's been especially challenging kind of to have the kids comprehend and critical think and think for themselves on certain things.
Yeah.
So on my way out, I wanted to kind of raise awareness and just let people know how AI and technology is affecting their children these days. I do know that a lot of times in my English classroom, I would ask them to write down a short response or just 5 sentences to answer a question. And a lot of times it would be about 2.5 sentences and they would say, well, I can't think of anything else to say, or, well, why do I have to answer in complete sentences? Like, you get the point from what I'm saying in just this little sentence. And then a lot of times I would assign essays, long form essays, and I know how children write, especially when they handwrite me things in the beginning of the school year. And so when a student, how I know how they write typically, would give me a very eloquently and thorough essay on a topic that I know that normally wouldn't come from them, I would ask them, was this really you? And I'd run it through an AI generator. And of course it would say 100% ChatGPT or AI. And I would speak to the student and they would more so question of, well, if I have to redo this, how much is it really going to affect my grade? Can I just take the zero?
Oh my gosh, trying to take the easy way out.
Yeah. Right.
Is it promoting just a laziness among our children?
I suppose. And a lot of them are just feeling as though they don't really need to do the work anymore because AI will just do it for them.
Right.
And I think that AI can be in a classroom in a very effective way if we teach children in the older grades how to use it properly. Mm-hmm. But if we're allowing them this unlimited access in the classroom to use AI, they're not going to do the work themselves.
Now you look at that and you can see this can also be used as an excuse as to why they need the social media ban. You know, so you got to read between the lines with all of it. But a lot of what she was saying is actually pretty spot on and pretty true. Now kids just don't know how to do anything anymore. And it's shocking that we've let this happen. But it isn't just that. I mean, it's getting to be that AI and this digital surveillance system is controlling every aspect of our lives. I showed you recently that you're going to have to submit biometric data and fingerprints, and now they're talking about a chat scan to enter Europe. They want to know your chat history. They want to know what you've been talking about with people. And now they're doing it in the United States as well. There's some celebration happening this year. There's some big event, some big festive United States historical celebration or something that's happening in 2026. And so they're using that as an excuse to do it because they don't want any terror attacks. But now they're saying that from January 1st, people who enter the United States, tourists, even people with visas, even people from countries that don't need visas, like Esther, like Australia, like myself, are going to have to show a 5-year social media chat history in order to gain entry to the United States. 5 years of your chat history. You know, I've been saying this for years, that everything you ever put online, it's still there. Like, it's all still there. All your MySpace pages are still there. Every edit that you ever made, before you edit it, it's all still there. So this is what you're going to have to supply in order to gain entry into the United States.
Starting in January, you must submit 5 years of your social media history in order to be allowed into the United States. The Department of Homeland Security has announced that everyone, including people who can enter without a visa, must submit their social media profiles and be viewed up to 5 years beforehand. They also must be required to submit a photo, because when they enter the U.S., photos are now taken of your faces. Your social media account will be monitored for political activity, including anti-Semitism and support of terror groups. Meaning, in the past 5 years, if you've reposted something that was critical of the Israeli government, you could be denied entry. Even if you're coming in a European country that has great relations with the U.S., and normally you could just show your passport. Well, starting January 1st, no. These social media posts would look for, quote, anti-American views and memes of people like Trump and Jedi Vance that make fun of the two. Now, this applies for absolutely everyone. So if anybody just wants to come in with a passport from the United Kingdom, they must beforehand submit their social media profiles to be allowed in.
And that's where it starts. Soon, you'll have digital licenses. You'll have digital currency. You'll have all this digital stuff, if we allow it. And soon, all of this stuff will be required for you to get a gun license, get a driver's license, rent a home, access your bank account. You'll get to a situation where you'll get pulled over by the cops for speeding or whatever excuse they concoct to pull you over, and they'll ask for your license. Your license will be on your phone, and as soon as you hand them your phone, they'll punch in a code and it will bring up 5 years of your social media history, and I'll just punch in a couple of keywords to see if you've spoken about any of this sort of stuff, and then that's it. They will have you. They will penalize you. They'll take you away. You'll just be disappeared or whatever, or they'll just switch you off and tell you to go home. But of course, you'll have to walk, because your electric car won't start without the use of your cell phone, and we've just cancelled your ID, so nothing's going to work for you anymore. So off you go. This is kind of where it's heading, folks. It's pretty drastic what's going on. And so many people are distracted by Charlie Kirk, by all the stuff they give us to distract ourselves with. And they want us distracted. This is part of the plan. They've even said this. They want us so busy fighting each other and preoccupied with sports and things that we just don't have time to respond against what they're doing.
And through that, is so busy in establishing new sovereignties in the place where the person fell, they don't bother Klal Yisrael. Meaning, that Hashem does a chesed, and they're so busy killing each other that they don't kill us. So it's a historical overview of the various wars and battles, world wars, etc. So busy battling each other, they leave us alone. Now, the Moshe Zatzal would say, that's the mile of sports. The guy was so busy in sports, they don't have time to check with the Jews. They ever saw boxing, where they pummel and kill each other, instead of pummeling and killing us. Go upon them. They have national pastimes, some of them benign, like baseball, some of them a little more dangerous, like football, where they're wired for sound, they hear the crunch of the broken bone. But the more they pummel each other, the less they pummel us.
Yeah, they tell us, folks. They tell us that this is the plan. And they keep us preoccupied with everything. Absolutely everything. Wars, bloodshed. I mean, and all the stuff they've done. I mean, something that's come out of what they did with Gaza and what they did with Lebanon and what they did with, you know, Hezbollah and Syria and Yemen and everywhere is this concept that preemptive strikes are justified. If you think someone is thinking things you don't like, then you should go in and bomb their whole country and obliterate them from existence in case they're a threat to you, before they attack you or do anything. You just make up a story, tell the media, and then say, look, we've got to do it. It's imminent. I mean, Netanyahu's been telling us that Iran's going to bomb the United States. It's imminent. He's been telling us this since, like, 2012. Or even before then, like 2005, 2008, 2001. Actually, I think since the 90s he's been saying this. Only months away from a nuclear weapon, a strike on the United States is imminent. He even tried to blame Iran for the Bondi shooting that happened the other day. How the fuck is Iran involved in it? What purpose would Iran have in shooting people on Bondi Beach in Sydney? Was he want to give more power to the Jews? Does he want to have more anti-Semitic speech limited in Australia? Does he want to have more security for Israel? Does he want to have all free speech curtailed? No, it's Israel that wants all that. And they get it by staging these terror attacks all the time.
ישראלים כולל המוסד מעורבים בחקירת הפיגוע בסידני בניסיון לברר האם מישהו עומד מאחורי המחבלים שביצעו את הפיגוע או שמדובר מה שנקרא במפגעים בודדים שיצאו בוקר אחד לבצע פיגוע מבלי שיש גוף שעומד מאחוריהם. בשלב ראשון מה שאנחנו מבינים מדובר בכל האפשרויות שנמצאות על הפרק, כלומר שמדובר בהתארגנות מקומית או שאיראן עומדת מאחורי המפגעים הללו או כפי שדיווח חינוני איתך מוקדם יותר היום, שנבדקת האפשרות שחיזבאללה עומד מאחורי המחבלים הללו. כלומר, כרגע באמת צריך לומר, כל האפשרויות נבדקות, כולל האפשרות שאיראן וחיזבאללה הם שעומדות מאחורי
המחבלים. There's no reason that Iran would do this. I mean, it's absolutely make no sense whatsoever for Iran to have attacked Australia because there's just no reason. They don't benefit from it. In fact, quite the opposite happened. But all these things are moving forward to the same direction, folks, and it's all about AI control. It's all about removing more and more of your rights. Even the reinstating of YouTube channels. I'm thinking, why did they reinstate my YouTube channel and everybody else's YouTube channels? It's because they want you monitored. They want to now introduce these laws where I've got to show 5 years of social media history to enter the United States or Australia or anywhere else. Oh, we'll just give you your YouTube channel back. Fortunately, there hasn't been anything uploaded to my YouTube channel for 5 years because that's when they banned it. But still, it's there now. And they want all that information and they want access to the people that are viewing my channel on YouTube. Data mining, folks. Just gathering tabs on people. That's the plan. I think that's why they reinstated everybody's YouTube channels. Because they want to keep tabs on people. That's what it's all about, folks. And now we've got this blanket social media ban in Australia that will be coming to America to protect the children, of course. And we've got the legalization of preemptive strikes. What's going on in Venezuela? Oh, it's all good. We can go and do this. It's not war. We're attracting drug cartels. We're not going to give you any proof that the drug cartels are there or that the boats that we've been bombing are actually smuggling drugs. We're just going to blow them all out of the water. Just take our word for it because we're the government and we would never tell the truth. And by the way, Tyler Robinson killed Charlie Kirk and everything is above board, just the way it should be, which is why we went in and we destroyed the crime scene and concreted over all the evidence. Makes perfect sense, folks. You just got to use your brain, you know, and see how the government thinks, you know. It's freaking crazy, folks. It's absolutely crazy. But yeah, that's the world now. People are losing their skills for everything. And they're just getting led into this system of digital slavery. Interestingly, the other day as well, and they don't mind showing us what they're doing, someone posted this thing of this portal thing they've set up, this demonic freaking display they've set up in Detroit. Did anybody see this happening? And it's just a hideous looking thing. I don't agree with this guy because I don't buy into religion. I think religion is demented. I think that religion is one of the causes of all of our problems. You know, the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims all fighting against each other. Should all just go and burn all their books and get back to being a human. I think that would help. But anyway, this guy went and checked this out, this portal thing in Detroit. And what the fuck is this?
Giant portal for the local principalities. Now, if you saw my last video, you know about the stones and what I mentioned about the rituals. Look what it's called. transcending. Come on, guys. Really? Do I have to explain this? Now, I actually came here before and I prayed standing here. I'm gonna show you. Right there. You know what happened? My feet started burning when I saw, because I was praying against this thing. But look, watch this. Look at this. Fallen ones. Now, I know they're going to tell you that it's supposed to represent certain things, but all this stuff has spiritual symbology to it.
Yeah, it's a pretty twisted society we live in, folks. I suppose it's called art by somebody's standard, I don't know. Art takes many forms. It always has taken many forms. What is artistic and what is not, what is tasteful and what is not. Did you know there were human zoos in Belgium? Up until around 1958, they had them at the end of the 18th century. They had what they called like Congo World. And this is Belgium, where it's freezing, right? They had these grass huts set up and a little mining operation set up. There's one section that went like 8 acres or something. It was like Congo World, and they had all these people in their native habitat. And they had them held in by a fence, and it was a human zoo. And people used to laugh at them over the fence and feed them bananas and stuff. And it was one year, like back in the 1800s, like 1890s or something, where six of them froze to death, because they're living in these little grass huts in the middle of winter in Belgium. You know. And they kept these things going until 1958, they closed the last one down. 1958, they were still going during World War II. Like human zoos in Belgium. I think Pope Leopold, King Leopold II started it. Crazy.
This photo was taken in Brussels in 1958. It's a picture of a human zoo, and it was not unique to Brussels. They had been hosted earlier in the century in London, Paris, New York, Oslo, and Hamburg. This typical village was set up for an exhibition in Belgium in 1897. Local Congolese spent their days in enclosures imitating village life. Visitors would jeer, laugh at, and ornamentalize them. One journalist who visited the fair wrote, "If there was no reaction, they threw money or bananas over the closure of bamboo." We don't know much about many of the people who were placed in the human zoos, but Otabenga, a young Congolese man, garnered fame. In 1906, he was taken to New York to become part of an exhibition at the Bronx Zoo. Benga reportedly believed he was hired to care for an elephant in the zoo, but instead he was given a home in the monkey house. After leaving the zoo, Benga found no comfort in America. Later in 1916, he shot himself in the heart. Human zoos have not been staged anywhere for 61 years, but one Belgium academic thinks mindsets still need to be changed.
Crazy stuff, folks. So yeah, art takes many forms over the years, and we are in crazy times, folks. I mean, that art in Detroit, I don't even know if you'd even call that art, but it's there. So I wonder when that went up. If anybody knows, it'd be interesting to find out. But look, that's about all I got to say, I think, folks. You know, we are heading for a crazy, crazy world. You know, robot takeover. I saw robots on the Chinese-India border the other day. Just a robot just kind of standing there. You know, whether he's keeping guard or being used for surveillance or what it is, but it's there. And it's obviously a robot. But the people's kind of laughing about it in the video. Crazy stuff. They're employing robot police, or deploying robot police, in China now as well. And these will be coming to Western countries soon as well. Everything's going nuts, folks, and we've got to stand up against it, which I believe they're doing in Belgium now. There was huge protests I saw in Belgium. Apparently they've just overthrown their government. Seems to be happening in a few places. Don't know how real it is, you can't tell. The mainstream media is of course completely silent on anything about it. So, you know, we just don't know. Hard to confirm any of it. If you're in Belgium and you happen to watch the show, perhaps you could give me an update. Now, so many of the reports that you get online, you just don't know whether they're true, is the weird part. And with all this AI now, you just don't know how many of the videos are true or what's going on. Hola. Hola. ¿Cómo está? So yeah, you just don't know what's real and what isn't anymore. So there's some things to take into account. I mean, same with this shooting. I mean, obviously Mossad's involved. The fact that Arson Ostrovsky was there, the fact that Rabbi Dildo went there 6 months before and made a point of standing there on Bondi Beach with a Bondi shirt on, the fact that now he's saying he's so upset because the country he loves so much, you know, all this, it's so obviously staged, you know, the threat from Benjamin Netanyahu saying that, you know, we could expect a terror attack because of our views on Palestine. You know, if we're supporting Palestine against the Israeli occupation, why would the Muslims stage a shooting here? Think about that. They wouldn't benefit from that. That would turn everybody against supporting Palestine against the Israeli occupation. The only people who would benefit from this happening is the Israeli occupiers. So, you know, it's really easy to see who's responsible for this and what this is all about. And who did it? I mean, it's obvious, folks. It's totally obvious. And we can expect more of them, unfortunately. But anyway, yeah, look, I'll leave it there for now, folks. That's about all I have to say. Same thank yous I give to everybody. I'm going to try to get a couple of interviews done in the next week as well. I've got a lot of requests there for interviews, so I want to try to get some of them done. Thank you to the people who send me so many kind emails and so much information. Please continue to send me information of topics that you think are interesting that I should include on the show as well. It's hard to keep up with everything when I'm traveling. Of course, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. I could really use some this month, folks. I know it's Christmas and everyone's short, but if you can, it would be greatly appreciated. It does kind of inspire me to keep going as well, because, you know, I can kind of gauge what I'm saying by, you know, whether people are supporting what I'm saying and whether I should keep going. I mean, I don't know, I've had second thoughts about whether I want to keep doing this. I mean, you know, it kind of gets to you after a while. I've been doing it for so many years, and I wonder, you know, I mean, the world has just gotten so crazy and so pear-shaped in the last 4 or 5 years. I wonder whether the shows help. I mean, I do receive a lot of emails from people saying, yeah, they do. Please don't stop. But it would be nice if people contributed now and then. I mean, it's crazy, you know. Like, I've got 100,000 subscribers on BitChute. Imagine if everyone even put in 50 cents, you know. But, you know, it's difficult, folks. It is difficult, I know. But anyway, thank you to those who do. Going to be interesting to see what unfolds for Christmas and New Year, hey? And we all knew there was something coming. Even Candace Owens actually said, expect something major to happen in the first couple of weeks of December. There's word that something major is going to happen. And of course, we just saw this shooting in Australia. So, yeah. And all of us have been predicting it. We've been predicting something like this would happen. And the more people start to question the actions of Israel, the more we're going to see Israel staging terror attacks in the West and trying to convince people that it's Muslims that are staging these attacks because people are not showing support for Israel. When really, like I said before, if that were true, it would be exactly the opposite. It would be the other way around. You would find that you would have Muslims in all Western countries actually supporting the government because the government is standing against those who are oppressing it. You'd have all the Palestinians, all the Muslims, all the Syrians, all the Libyans, everybody in Australia standing with the Australian people because they are standing against Israel. And the only one who would benefit from a Muslim shooting up Jews in Australia is the Jewish community, Israel. And we know from their history that they have no problem at all in killing their own people when they need sympathy. In fact, they have a long, long history of doing exactly that, staging attacks against themselves. So wise up, people. Anybody out there, you know, it's time to start thinking about your own country and your own people and your own race even. You know, white Nordic people, white Nordic women who are incredibly beautiful, but white Nordic women with blonde hair, blue and green eyes, make up around about 0.03 of world population now. Some of the most beautiful, elvish looking people on earth. You know, I've got no problem with you know, people mixing races in as much as, you know, a white guy falls in love with a Chinese woman or vice versa and they get married and have kids. There's no problem with that. But when there's this whole industrialized race mixing the way we're seeing, we end up with no pure white people, no pure black people, no pure Chinese, no pure Mongolians, no pure anybody. The only people who remain pure are the guys with small hats who refuse to intermarry. Well, they go out of their way to make sure that everybody else intermarries. And we're at a situation now where, I mean, the white race is about 6 or 8% of world population now. So I think it's important at the moment that people marry within their races if they can at the moment and keep your race going. Be proud of your race. Be proud to be white. Be proud to be black. Be proud to be Chinese. Be proud to be Mongolian. Be proud to be Finnish. Whatever you are, you know. But keep your gene pool going. Don't let it get mixed into one huge race of goyim with no history or past or cultural roots or anything like that. You know, no national pride, no heritage of where you came from. Because that's what they're doing, you know. I think it's important that all races, not just the white race, see what's going on and see how manipulated all this has been. Because it really has.
Really argue that the Goyim are going to be annihilated. That's not really an option for all the Nevuahs, all the prophecies. And not only Goyim as individuals, you could say that we broke down their nationalities and they're all a bunch of Yechidim running around. No, as nations even. As Goyim, they're gone. Their personality, they're, as they exist b'fnei atzmam, as they would exist independently of Klal Yisrael, they don't exist. They're done. In modern terminology, they call it cultural genocide.
It's like a nice sunset forming out there, folks. It's getting a little dark. It's really good, this camera, how you can't really tell when it's getting dark. It holds the light really well. As you might be able to see over there, there's places with lights on and there's a sunset going on in the sky. It's quite a good little camera. Very pleased with it. I still haven't moved on to the Osmo 3. I'm still using the Osmo 2. But hey, I just like the controls at my fingertips, so that's just what I've got. But anyway, folks, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what unfolds over Christmas and New Year. I should get to see you again before Christmas, and I'll be interested to see what happens between now and then. Things are moving so fast. Be interesting to see what distractions they want to give us. But like I said before, folks, the most important thing on the table at the moment is the smart grid. digital ID, digital currency, and the mass surveillance society. And that must be your line in the sand, must be everybody's line in the sand. Because if we allow this, there'll be no way to come back from it. If we simply refuse to comply, I tell you, you can't do this without digital ID, don't do it. Can't travel without digital ID, stop traveling. Everybody, just have a month off travel. It only take a month and they'll roll it all back. Airline companies will be screaming at them. Department stores will be screaming at them. So many businesses will be freaking out if people just decide to say no. And it's up to us, because we're the only ones who are going to stop it. And that must be everybody's line in the sand, folks. That is the hill to die on, digital ID. And if we bring that down, then we bring down the whole system. And I think the system is failing. I mean, the system's in meltdown. Look at the shit that Tim Pool's doing. He's even saying he's going to stop doing his podcast and do a comedy podcast from now on. Well, that's what you've been doing for the last few years anyway, Tim, is a comedy podcast. No one takes you seriously. You're a fucking idiot. And it stays a fake shooting. Like his brother, twice he's been shot at his house, apparently. First time was his brother. It's probably his brother again the second time. I mean, there's no reason anyone would have for shooting Tim Pool, you know. It's incredible. But he does this stuff because he's flailing. He's getting no attention. He's been trying to get attention by attacking Candace Owens. And all he's done is lose half his subscribers because of that. Because they're all listening to Candace Owens as well. I mean, it's just great. It's been really interesting watching all the infighting. But again, all of this is a distraction from the digital currency and the digital system that is being rolled out right under your noses that they intend to implement for entry into the United States, I believe, on January 1st. So it's going to be interesting, folks, to see what happens. And like I said, if they do that at the border, soon it'll be on your phone. It'll be part of your requirements when you hand your ID to a cop. Soon it'll be part of your requirements. You'll have to hand your phone and ID to some freaking bouncer on a nightclub before he's going to let you into the nightclub. And he will be able to just punch up your social profile, punch in a few keywords and see if you've been saying anything the government doesn't like and deny you entry. They'll be able to do it with everything, folks. It's going to control every aspect of your life. And then once that happens, they'll just switch you off. They'll deplatform you in every way that they can. And they even admit that is their plan as well, to just deplatform people. We will turn you off everything. You won't be able to get a job. You won't be able to get a spouse. You won't be able to get anything because we will shut you down. But we don't control the world.
Anti-Semitism thrives when there are no consequences. So we created consequences, a lot of them. If you target Jewish students, your actions will not disappear into the darkness. We will shine a light on you that, thanks to Google and SEO, will follow you for the rest of your life. When you look for a job, when you look for a spouse, when you look for a nanny, when you look for anything, our work will always be documented, again, thanks to Google and SEO. In corporations where DEI leaders smeared Israel, excused Hamas, we pressured CEOs, some resigned, many were terminated, but policies were changed, thankfully, from governmental to art institutions. Online, where anonymous accounts spread violent threats, we traced patterns, elevated evidence, and worked with authorities, leading to arrests from Florida, South Carolina, New York, California, and Texas. And we're not slowing down.
Yeah, interesting how it works. So, but anyway, folks, I'm still babbling, so I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I will look forward to speaking to you again soon. And please, if anyone can, make a contribution this month for Christmas, I'd be very appreciative. But if you can't, hey, that's all good, and have a Merry Christmas anyway. And I'll look forward to seeing you soon, but I'll see you before Christmas. So take care until we speak next in Lakesh.
Imagine Hitler had a different story, and he didn't go to purgatory.
Instead controlled the banks, bought the media, had them give him thanks. And in every military he joined the ranks, political coups and pranks. I wonder if we would have explored Antarctica maybe instead of being fake, just ignored. Going to the moon, JFK may not have died so soon. Maybe the school board would start class at noon. What if he used an Arabian sword to become the Middle Eastern lord? And the Holy Lands were his reward, one only he could afford. A cost so utterly absurd, but without the genocide and occupation, they just gave up the location after giving an invitation to a new wonderful tropical nation. From the evidence we have to view, Zionism is the problem, not every Jew. But when you're under attack, you must fight back. It's just what you do. Breaking the system is a little brand new. They thought, was he that bad? Was he so lost? No one's allowed to question the Holocaust. Facts get tossed, narrative embossed. IDF facts like they are the boss. No care for how many lives are lost. Women, children, anyone in their way, they are gonna make you pay. Zionists rule at any cost. Hear the twist gene, this alternate vision. World domination can't be his mission. He's not Jewish, he was a Christian. So he loved his neighbor, not out for guts and gold. Wanted his own life free. His people and others, just leave them be. Don't need communism or democracy, just compassion and equality. Using this story to get you all to listen is my ultimate vision. From 9-11 equivalent false flags, COVID jabs and surveillance states, climate change, fear mongers and political lies, eugenics, 5G, cancer's on the rise. They think they are elite, believe to be superior. They control what we eat, cause they see us inferior. Population control, getting U.S. fighting as a whole. Divide, push and pull, FDA, drugs and alcohol. We're cattle for them to cull, not human, just gun for them to use. If we comply, let it happen, do we deserve the abuse? So lost, no one's allowed to question the Holocaust. Facts get tossed, narrative embossed. IDF facts like they are the boss. No care for how many lives are lost. Women, children, anyone in their way, they are gonna make you pay. Zionists rule at any cost. Standing tall, the stash on his face. But if all that was the case and he succeeded in his race, would he have taken their place? Would we even need a safe space? What else might have changed? Would it be evil rearranged? Can't imagine it would have been more deranged. History holds what's true. He stood up for me of you. Hated the banks and dirty smut. Wanted the economy out of its rut. He hated what they were trying to do. Global control he watched as it grew. The ruthless villain they were but few. It wasn't a hatred for being a Jew. But when you say you were chosen by God, make your sacrifices to Nimrod. Hold on to money and riches. Treat everyone else like bitches. Wouldn't you expect to get some stitches? Can't ignore what they have done. Since arriving in the home of God's only son, the horrors that have happened in the Gaza Strip, soon the rest of the world will feel the same whip. Time we all get a grip, shoot from the hip. Before they unload the clip, we need to bust through the censorship. 7th of 1 month before November, they set it up. Let them just kill their own, whole thing overblown, just as an excuse to get rough. Kill and maim, take over the domain. It's brutal, so insane. Enough is enough. Time to retaliate with love. Cause good can win if we relate morality to sin. Leave the hate, let truth debate, and take back our fate before it's too late.